Patches. We here at JPWA and would love to X-ray. Is Pat O'Connor versus Buddy Rogers from 1961 in Chicago, Illinois at Comiskey Park. It's a pivotal point, I guess, in the NWA and two of the greatest performers for that era. It's unique in the sense that Buddy Rogers was a colorful showman, and the NWA was changing and going that direction, whereas prior to, they would want the real rugged wrestlers and the real wrestlers get in the ring and have credibility. This match has a great story behind it. It also has a move and a point where Pat O'Connor grabs an armbar and walks around Rogers. Haven't seen anyone do it since. We suggest it every time we watch this match. The body language, the storytelling, timing, which we talk about every time we step in the ring, is evident here, and that's why these guys are two of the best. So from 1961, Comiskey Park, NWA champion Pat O'Connor defends against the Nature Boy, Buddy Rogers. Obviously it set an attendance record for that time, but these are two of the greatest of all times, and it's unique because people wanted to believe, and people thought at one time O'Connor was the greatest wrestler in the world, and you had divided opinions on Buddy Rogers, but he was a classic professional wrestler. He was a guy who believed in who he was when he stepped in the ring. He was the Nature Boy. He believed it. And he believed he should be the world champion. He was a great bad guy. He was an arrogant, pompous, full of himself heel. And for 2 out of 3 falls, he was ready. And the people in Comiskey Park were ready too. Certainly nothing like you'd see today in the modern era, but the story's still there. It's champion versus challenger, and you've got this clean cut. Actually, he's not all American. You see, he was from New Zealand. Clean cut New Zealand wrestler coming over to the States, became the champion. And a quick uppercut right off the ropes by Rogers, just demonstrating who the heel is if you had any confusion. Buddy just switched that right there and let you know he was the bad guy in this match. But watch the pacing and the storytelling in this too. Buddy Rogers got attention everywhere he went, and I at times likened him to Shawn Michaels. Because he was unique, he was arrogant, pompous, backstage as much so as he was in front of the stage too, in the ring. But everything these guys do, they register, they sell, and make it count. So they're making it evident. That was kind of a jump cut. Evident that this is for a championship match, and O'Connor threw what was known in the wrestling business back then as a karate chop to the side of the head, or maybe a judo chop. No such thing as a judo chop, I know, but wrestling would call this a karate chop, that a judo chop. There's no chops in judo. But in this case, it didn't matter because it worked for O'Connor to get out of the move. And the sequence these guys go through. Again, Buddy looked to be getting an advantage and went right back to O'Connor in the ropes, throwing those punches. Those are unique punches in the way, too, that only a few people, and it was O'Connor who made him popular, punch like that. Buddy's going to get the first fall here. a simple knee in the corner. Again, educating everyone to the fact that you could get beat with something simple like that. It tells the story, but it takes selling. And this was the style back then. You could catch a knee the wrong way, you could catch an elbow the wrong way, and you could get pinned. And O'Connor lost the first fall. So we're coming back on the second. And again, these guys are taking their time, calling in the ring. And Buddy's taking advantage of that bad neck. He caught him on the side of the neck with the knee. And Buddy Rogers, strutting and taking his time. When O'Connor knows he needs to get the fall. He needs to get the second fall. And Pat O'Connor wound up owning part of the Kansas City office many, many years back in the early 70s, 80s, and continued on as a top name pretty much through the middle of the 80s. Buddy Rogers became the first ever WWF heavyweight champion. He's got a great history behind him too, but this is a classic move back then where the heel would have a hammerlock and choke the babyface while the referee was looking the other way. Nice kip up. Now Rogers goes for the leg. All right, Buddy is selling in the corner to the people. It's notice O'Connor's not rushing. He's giving about 2 feet in between and giving Buddy plenty of time to sell. So everyone can see, and even the punch to the face. Rogers slinks back down to the corner, but Pat's not rushing. He's giving everyone an opportunity to see that Rogers is selling what's being done. Quick short tackle. Watch this. This is known as the O'Connor roll for the second fall. People know that's it. So the champion has evened up the score, and it goes into the third fall. Buddy Rogers, obviously, has something to complain about, but the third and final fall is set up, and again, watch the body language, watch the pacing. Here's the strut, here's getting the most out of everything you need to do in this match, and they're going to set this up as we go on with body slams, and it's ring positioning. From here on out to the third fall, they both know where they need to be. And Rogers sends O'Connor off for the crisscross and gives him an opportunity to strut one more time when Pat's ready to nail it. Pat doesn't rush. They take their time. And this is a hallmark of Rogers. He knew where to be, when to be, and how to be in the ring. Everything he did meant something. So, out of the ropes, a break, and a quick shot to get the advantage on the champion. Okay, it wasn't vicious enough to keep Pat down, but it was enough to make him register and come back. So there's a difference, again, between selling, overselling, and registering a hold or move. You have to resonate, and it has to feel whether it's right enough to take that kind of bump or not. And there's a double knockout, which I don't think they used a whole lot back in the early 60s, but only when it meant something, probably only in this match. Going for, here we go, nice way to get out of a pile driver where Buddy forced both guys outside the ring. And the referee has to count. or at least let him get back into it. Okay, one more time. Pat knows to let Buddy out of the corner. He's going to peel him out of the corner. Another tackle into a body slam. Now watch the body slams as Buddy is body slammed close to the ropes. And O'Connor is actually throwing him. He's not just laying him down. O'Connor is going to throw Buddy across the ring. And he's going to land near the ropes again. So here's the pin. Buddy's right by those ropes, can put his foot out. He doesn't have to waste any energy kicking out. And it also looks like it's a cheap way. And it is a cheap way to save the fall. But they are telling a story here. And Buddy's back is now bothering him. And again, O'Connor's letting Buddy sell it and get everything out of it for all it's worth. Watch these punches and watch how Buddy Rogers sells. He grabs where he's been punched, and he's begging. Again, the drama's building. Watch this peel. And we're going for the slams again. Watch the ring positioning. And watch Rogers sell. Again, too close to the ropes. And he saves his backside. It's still the third fall. And Buddy sell. Pat sell. For this time, 1961, they set attendance records and people were into the match. People really believed that Buddy Rogers was who he was and Pat O'Connor was the real world champion. Watch these punches. And watch how all Rogers does is slink down. He's melting down in the middle of the ring. Well, actually, not in the middle of the ring, but by the corner. And he's not overdoing it, not over exaggerating it. It looks perfectly authentic and real enough. Watch this. With O'Connor just ramming Buddy's head in the back of the turnbuckle. Nobody knows what that turnbuckle feels like. But Roger sells like it's barely any padding. It looks like there's hardly any padding on him. So this is what gets a match over, or got a match over in 1961. It could still be done today if you have guys who understand how to sell it and how to do it, how to make it look credible, how to make it look authentic and a little more realistic. Instead of trying to do a whole lot of stuff and nobody selling it. Oversimplistic? I don't think so. The basics and fundamentals still hold true today. It's all how you present it. And it's all how you do it. How do you look when you do it? And these guys are selling every shot, every move. But again, Buddy's too close to the ropes. And he keeps putting his leg over the ropes. He keeps taking the easy way out. But again, he's been wrestling for a while now. And it's up to O'Connor to beat him. Watch this move. A big beel, and O'Connor goes for a drop kick, connects one time, and he goes for the second one, and there he straddles himself on the top rope. And that could have been his mistake. That might have been the mistake that Rogers is going to capitalize on, because that looked devastating, especially for 1961. If you straddled yourself on the top rope and it was real and you sold it as though you straddled yourself on the top rope, you could get the three count and become the new NWA champion. Now, we show people this match for the body language and the storytelling. Simple, easy to digest storytelling. Back then, these guys sold moves that meant something. They sold the punches. They sold the kicks. They sold the body slams. Basics and fundamentals. You still need high spots. You still need excitement. You still need drama. But we take these down and boil them into the basic element of professional wrestling. You have a guy who can wrestle. You have a guy who might be able to wrestle just a little quicker and outmaneuver you. That tells me the story. If you want to take an advantage, you're the heel. You're the bad guy, just by osmosis. At the same time, that might make you the good guy. It all depends on body language, presentation, how you look. I don't think anybody did it better for that time and era, but also for this time, just to understand what we're trying to get across. We're going to take a look at another exciting match next week, right here on X-Ray.